This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli. Watch the
greenbacks tumble. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert's with us. Bert's in California, Silicon Valley. Bert, do you have reliable internet out there in Silicon Valley, or does it go down every once in a while?
Vince, it's been fairly reliable the last few years. You know, wasn't always the case, but at our office complex here, we're mostly served by, not plugging them, but Comcast Business. And, Vince, you'll appreciate this. Most of the internet service is actually DOCSIS, and what DOCSIS is basically data over the cable TV system. So as old-fashioned as that sounds, most of the businesses, and this is a huge, probably largest business complex in this part of our town, is, they send it over a coaxial cable, and it's been very reliable. They use what's called a CMTS as sort of the cable head end. Now, at home, I also have their non-business subsidiary. It's called Infinity. Every class probably heard of them, and I use that for my internet at home. And since that also comes over my coaxial cable. I don't use the coax for TV. I have DirecTV satellite for that, but I do get the internet over, again, it's what's known as DOCSIS. And it's been very reliable. In fact, I'd say more reliable than my phone service, and I still have a landline at home as well. It's kind of a little bit of redundancy. So I have both satellite, landline, and, as I mentioned, DOCSIS. So giving you a long answer, Vince, but last several years, extremely reliable.
Yeah, and that's the same communication system that we recommended for the city of Fayetteville, North Carolina, when I was a consultant for them in the automation of the city. It was brand new back 33 years ago, using data over cable, as in cable TV, because cable was all around, and it had higher bandwidth than any other method that was installed in place. So, yeah, it was take advantage of the existing infrastructure and then put data over unused frequencies on cable. Absolutely. That was our plan. Bert, I was looking at a picture of a house and solar panels, and there's this, it looks like the house is probably around 100 years old, and it has a terracotta tile roof, and it has two different styles of and manufacturers, it looks like, of solar panels. It's got three windmills, and it's got a dish-type satellite antenna on it. And there's problems with, a huge amount of problems, with what is being considered solar panel waste. Like, what do we do with these things? So are you going to be talking about that today?
Yeah, Vince. That's true, and it's something we've meant to dive into a little further. But everybody thinks that buy an EV and we're saving the environment, and they don't realize the different stages of pollution and what we've done to the environment all along the way to produce that EV. you're driving that EV, and then most forgotten of all, disposal of that EV, in particular the batteries. And I'm not saying EVs aren't a bad idea, Vince, because the overwhelming factor is the efficiency of electric motors. As we mentioned, they're typically 90% efficient compared to 25 or 30% for a regular gasoline engine, a little bit higher than that for diesel. But there's so much pollution and damage to our planet done along the ways. And, you know, this ties in also to, you know, everyone says we'll charge your EV from solar and wind, but there's a problem with solar and wind as well. And so you really have to look at the big picture and how many, you know, everyone seems to have an agenda. And our only agenda on USA Prepares is to educate and go with the facts. And, you know, we're not political in the sense that, you know, we're spewing the points of any particular political party. We're just saying, hey, we do want to protect the planet. We do want to have efficiency in our lives and how we protect the planet. And I think, you know, both sides, if you call them two sides, sometimes forget about those things.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this roughly 100-year-old house. It's got a magnificent orange-colored terracotta tile roof. And then somebody drilled holes through the terracotta roof to install the backing frame for the solar panels. The solar panels are not going to last as long as the roof is going to last, and then they're going to be replaced. They say that solar panels have a life expectancy of 25 to 30 years. I don't believe that for a second. And I've seen, I think they last much longer than that. I really do. However, people are replacing them when they become less efficient. So, for example, when they're brand new, the first day that you install it, it will say that it's 100% of capability for generating photovoltaic electricity. A year later, it might be, and I've seen numbers a 0.5% less than the first year. I've seen 1% and I've seen 2%. I don't know what the number is. Ours are working fine after over 5 years. They're just working great. So from what I'm seeing, at 30 years, these panels will be typically somewhere between 85 and 90% as good as they were when they're brand new. So I don't think we need to throw them away as quickly as people seem to throw them away. I see these piles of trash of solar panels, and right now there's no restrictions on what you do with them, so you just put them in the trash. Put them outside, you know, for the garbage man to pick them up. And then I guess they get smashed and put in a landfill. Makes no sense at all. I mean, there are parts of the solar panels that could be reused. There's glass, you know, low iron glass. There's aluminum frames. And then you've got the crystalline solar panels themselves. And you've got silver wire and you've got maybe silver solder. So, or lead, silver, solder. So there are parts that can be reused, and we're talking about millions, hundreds of millions, if not trillions, of tons of these panels that are going to be thrown away at some point in time. This is pretty serious stuff, Bert.
Yeah. What we do with them is important. Vince, I was surprised, and I think you're looking at the same data article that we both read, that by 2020, the end of 2020, we were providing 40% of our electric capacity from solar. And that really caught me by surprise. I didn't know it had been up to 40% because 10 years earlier, Vince, that number was only 4%. So we've had a dramatic increase, and that's already two-year-old data. So I suspect we might actually be right now in this country at 50% electricity coming from solar, which is pretty dramatic. But as you said, we have tons of panels that are going to be at some point degraded to where somebody's going to decide to replace them. And what do we do with them? You know, you've seen how they've been, well, they can't recycle, how they've been burying a lot of these things. And we also have to throw in there windmill blades made out of a type of fiberglass that they don't know how to recycle. But the bigger problem is the solar cells, because that's now, Vince, up to getting close to 50% of our electric capacity. Pretty amazing.
Well, that's if you believe it, right, Bert? I don't believe that number. But I'll tell you why I don't believe it. We have on our farm, we're the only ones around here. We're the only ones around this neck of the woods in terms of farms that have solar panels. And one of our arrays is 45 feet long and about over 13 feet tall. Okay, so that's pretty big. That's one. We have another one that is about 45 feet long and about roughly 7 feet tall. That's two. So that's a lot of real estate for solar panels. That, on a really good day, really sunny day, can provide enough electricity for us to run our farm. But in order to make that work, we have to have a battery bank that can store it overnight. And that battery bank that we have has 80 cells, 80. Each cell weighs over 100 pounds. Each one of them, so we have over 8,000 pounds of battery. 8,000 pounds of battery. Just building a rack to support that amount of weight was an undertaking in itself. Seriously, I had to do some engineering to make sure that these cells didn't collapse the rack. It's all in one rack. It's a two-story rack. What I'm saying is most people don't have that. So if we have 50% of the electric generation coming from solar panels, you would see one on every other house. And every other house would be as big as the one we have, because there's no substitute for real estate in terms of solar panels. You can't take a postage-sized solar panel and have it generate the same amount of electricity as one that's, let's say, 15 square feet. It can't be done. It's physically impossible. You have to absorb that amount of photons from the sun in order to generate the electricity. So you can't make it tiny. I mean, you can make a tiny one, and maybe you can power your watch, but that's about it. So to run a house, it takes what we have, and every other house doesn't have them, for sure. That means that, and houses are part of the consumption. What about industry? So, and if you wanted to power like a General Motors factory with solar panels, you'd probably have to have the real estate of a large city in solar panels, just to power the factory. So I don't believe the numbers. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying whoever's reporting it is wrong, in my opinion. But then again, don't believe me. I hear silence.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm picturing in my mind the chemistry of a photovoltaic cell. And there's just no way to rejuvenate them to sort of like almost, you know, people don't know semiconductors have a finite life as well, because there's a PN junction, I don't want to get too technical, that actually wears out. You know, everybody thought when we were growing up that vacuum tubes had lives and transistors didn't.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD, powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Bert was bringing up a very important point, class. When we talked about vacuum tubes back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even into the 1970s for television sets and radios, we knew that they would wear out. We knew that. And there were tube testing stations at small box stores. They were the big box stores of the day. But you could go even to a drugstore and they had a tube testing machine. And you'd take out all your tubes in the radio because you didn't know which one it was that was bad. You know, the average do-it-yourselfer didn't know. So you'd take out all the tubes, unscrew the two screws on the back of your AM kitchen radio and bring the five tubes to the drugstore or to the box store. And you'd stand there at a tube testing station. You'd plug them in one at a time. You'd set the switches A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. You turn the knob to the right indicator on the meter, you'd press the test button and it would say good or bad. And then you'd find the bad ones and then you'd ask the clerk to open the base of the tube tester, which was a stand-up cabinet, and they'd have a replacement tube. You'd take them to checkout and buy them and then put them in yourself. So we knew they wore out. But when the transistor arrived on the scene, it appeared that that darn thing, that PNP or NPN junction transistor, would last forever. That's kind of what we thought. And now they do last a lot longer. There's no question about it. But they were, but they're more susceptible to voltage spikes, right, Bert?
Yeah. And so I don't want everybody to think they got to go out and replace their transistors. But they do have a life. And, you know, I'm guessing that if you picked up an iPhone 100 years from now, probably won't work. Vince, do you know how many... Approximately, how many transistors are in an iPhone? Keep in mind there's
over a million.
And keep in mind that, you know, there's a lot of integrated circuits in there, but primarily it's the one big processor. It has six cores. You're guessing a million transistors?
I have no idea, but I'm thinking that if you look at all the transistors in the integrated circuits, maybe 2 million, maybe more than that.
Yeah, so I think if you go to like an early computer and some of the early Intel processors, you might be at a million. But Vince, I'm looking at a technical document here on the iPhone 14. Vince, it's a little astounding to wrap your head around. Vince, 16 billion transistors. That's B with a billion. 16 billion transistors.
So if one of those junctions of the 16 billion, if one of them fails, doesn't that mean that there's going to be a problem with this thing being stable? One out of 16 billion?
Vince, I think it depends where that junction is. But
right, I understand that.
Yeah. But you know, I think it's a testament to the quality control that we've had in the semiconductor industry. Because you're right. I mean, if that transistor is at the signal path, processing the signal, and it fails, I don't believe it's a sudden failure. I think it's a gradual failure. But if it fails and, you know, it's in the data path, then that's the end of the phone. But then 16 billion transistors, that's just so hard to wrap your head around. But I think it speaks to how well the semiconductor industry has maintained the quality. I mean, the clean rooms that we need, the conditions they have when they fabricate these devices, and the quality control is just astronomically high in order to make sure.
Let me ask you this.
And of course, they're tested. A lot of them get thrown. You know, a lot of them get thrown out. By the way, it's tested and. Obviously, when you first fabricate it, a lot of those chips do not work, and they just get thrown out.
Yeah, and when they don't work, you cannot repair them.
No, we're talking about nanometers.
Yeah, so here's the thing, Bert. What you said is astounding. That tells me that we have to have machines to do a lot of our engineering, because if you said to a team of people, I'll tell you what, each one of you is only responsible for 100 of these transistors, that you couldn't manage that many people to build the final product because it would be so immense. That tells me that with 16 billion transistors, it has to be engineered by machines because we can't do it. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, and very sophisticated design software.
Yeah.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
USA News Update. The New York grand jury, hearing evidence brought by special counsel Jack Smith, is reportedly back in session this week. Still no hints about when or if Smith will ask for a federal indictment of former President Trump. Praise for Ukraine from a top senator on the Foreign Relations Committee, Maryland Democrat Ben Cardin.
Ukraine has been motivated, they've been effective, and they're continuing to be effective in holding back the Russian aggression. This is Russia's war of aggression.
Shipping traffic is at a standstill at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach today as daily workers have not shown up. No trucks are coming in or out of the port's biggest terminal. A similar labor action took place Friday at the Port of Oakland. The commander-in-chief will visit the newly named Fort Liberty. President Biden will talk about the Joining Forces initiative. Fort Liberty was, until last week, Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Rich Johnson, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your
life with Extendivite. Watch it. I know there's something happening.
It's going to be sliding.
What are today's hot
flashes?
Oh,
God, you're...
Take my...
When you go...
For 2 seconds...
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
You know, a lot of things are broken. I know we don't talk much about politics, but last weekend, 53 people were shot in Chicago. And fortunately, only 12 of them were murdered. I'm kidding about only 12 of them were murdered. This is unbelievable. This is in the United States of America. 53 people shot last weekend in Chicago, and 12 of them died. This is out of control, over the top.
Yeah.
Bert, what's next?
And not to dwell on the negative, we had a crime spree few days ago here in San Jose, a guy just went on just crazy carjacking, running over people, stabbing people. Several people dead, went through three different towns before he was apprehended. And, you know, turns out, I mean, you've heard this story before, Vince, but turns out he was, you know, out on parole. He was had prior history of violent acts, and, you know, California's just not incarcerating very many people anymore. And I don't know, again, not, I don't know if that's politics or not. It's, they're letting known violent criminals out, and they just go and stab or kill more people. And, you know, of course, this guy will be back in jail for the rest of his life, but there's four people dead who didn't deserve to die. So, not good, Vince, but I don't know what else to say.
Okay. Our son came back. He took a day off, and he and a friend went to a Missouri state prison, and they have a tour. And this is one of the last tours of this prison. And the reason for that is the state of Missouri is closing, has closed this prison, and they're demolishing the buildings. So if you want to see what one of these things look like, you know, you had to get, you had to look at it before they started demolishing it. And evidently they've already demolished some of it. And the reason, I said to our son, why are they doing that? And he said, well, the tour guide explained that because the prison could not accommodate the hiring of handicapped people, and it would cost too much to modify the prison to accommodate handicapped employees, that they were going to tear down the prison and turn it into a hotel and a parking lot. Now think about that. Think about that, class. So I think it's wonderful to hire the handicapped, but why would a handicapped person be working in a prison in the first place? I'm thinking somebody in a wheelchair, someone maybe that needs a walker, maybe someone that, whose eyesight isn't, you know, 20/20, maybe someone who doesn't have the strength to get around without assistance. I think we need to have strong, able-bodied specimens working in prisons when you have a population of, let's say, 1,200. So I think, and I am an advocate to help the handicapped, I am. And I've devoted years of my life helping the handicapped. There's no question about that. But in this case, demolishing a prison because it's not handicapped accessible, that doesn't make any sense at all. It would take a government to do something like that. That's the truth. That's the truth. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, and Vince, we've talked about it before in class, but it was a handicapped person that had been put in charge of the Hawaiian National Emergency Alert System a few years back, and they thought they were, you know, giving him a hand and helping him out, and they were doing a test of the system, but he pushed, apparently, the wrong buttons, and it went out as incoming nuclear attack to the state of Hawaii. And if you recall, there were people panicking, running to their cars to go up into the hills. The freeways were jammed. One man couldn't get out, so he pulled a man cover off of the sewer plate in the street and lowered his family one by one down into the sewer to escape the nuclear attack. And it was just mass pandemonium. And, you know, sirens had gone off, alerts had gone over the radio. And Tulsi Gabbard, who was a member of Congress at the time, she was the congresswoman from Hawaii. She's ex-military. And she had it all and heard it all. And she got on the phone and called the generals who she knew at the local military bases and said, is this true? What's going on? They go, it's absolutely not true. So she took it upon herself to call the media and call the TV station and say, look, this is the congresswoman. I'm telling you firsthand there's some kind of a false alarm going off, people are going to die because of the panic. And please alert everybody that it was a mistake. But I don't know if you remember that, Vince, and what it stemmed from. And Vince, we have to help people out who have various handicaps, whether it be mental or physical. But there's a limit to, you know, what type of job is appropriate for those people. And certainly something like National Defense Emergency Alert System, probably not, you know, there were probably a lot of other things in that department that this person could have done, but not operating the console for a drill for incoming nuclear attack.
I built a computer system many, many years ago, actually in the 70s. And that computer system was to be used by the federal government. It was a very large computer system. And my job was to take a batch system using IBM Hollerith punch cards, 80-column punch cards, and go online with it, go online real-time. And that's what I did. And I met a lot of handicapped people. And, you know, Bert, I know this is not part of today's syllabus, but it's important. There are things called skilled workshops. And a skilled workshop is when you take severely mentally handicapped people and you try to give them a good outlook on life, and you try to get them in a situation where they can become productive and they can have a healthy, happy life, and they can actually do things and be proud of what they've accomplished. Let me just give you a very simple example. So if you have a severely mentally challenged person that can't count, okay, but has dexterity with his or her hands and limbs, and wants to learn how to be productive, here's what they've done. So this was in the 70s. Now, I was part of this movement to help the handicapped. I really was. What they would do is they'd build a jig. And a jig is a fixture. And they would take from the injection molding company plastic forks, plastic spoons, and plastic knives. And the handicapped people would sit at a workstation with others, and they would be in like a group, a team of them. And they'd be happy, and they'd be together with people who were doing the same thing. They'd sit in this room, and they would each have a jig, and somebody would have a jig with, let's say, placeholders for forks, 10 forks. So when you filled up this cavity, if you will, with forks, one on top of the next, on top of the next, when you get to the top, that'd be 10. And you couldn't put 11 in there because the 11th one wouldn't fit. It would spill out, if you will. Same thing with knives and spoons. And so they would put them in there, and that would count for them 10. Then they would take a rubber band, and they would put it around those 10 forks and the 10 knives and the 10 spoons. And then another person would take one rubber-banded group of 10 forks, one of knives, one of spoons, and put them in a bag. And then another person would take that bag and heat-seal the bag so that it would be in a display that could hang on a shelf of, let's say, a store that was selling a kit of 10 knives, forks, and spoons. Okay, great thing to do to help people upward. Great thing to do. So the employees, and they were employees, had a sense of accomplishment. They went to work. They were surrounded by people they could talk with and have fun with and you know, have breaks with and eat together. And it was a wonderful thing. It really was. But when you look at what has replaced that, it's a machine. A machine bangs out the knives, spoons, and forks, puts them into a bag, heat seals them, and down the conveyor belt they go. So if we keep doing this kind of thing where we automate everything, we will have no room for people to work. There'll be no sense of pride. There'll be no sense of accomplishment. People will become morose. they will be depressed, even more depressed than they are already are. And I can't see a silver lining in this cloud unless we fix this and stop with the nonstop automation. People have to have a sense of purpose. They really do. And I have a sense of purpose. You do. I mean, every morning, 5 days a week, I get up. I look forward to broadcasting. I love it. I enjoy it. Our instructors love it. We all do it. And we're not getting paid for it. It's not like, you know, they're making us do it. There's nobody making us at USA Prepares do anything. We only do it because we enjoy it. We're passionate about it. We love it. And we think there's a reason for it. And there's a camaraderie. There's a esprit de corps. Our students love it. The instructors love it. It's a great thing. And just like that skilled workshop, it's a great thing. We need to do more of these things rather than fewer of them. Bert, back to you.
Yeah. Nothing more I can add to that, Vince. Getting on to something else we had discussed a few minutes ago, looking at another article to substantiate, it's a little more current, 54% of all new energy coming online this year, 2023, expected to be solar. And that's from Zero Hedge, article by Tyler Durden. Now, I think his data is coming from U.S. EIA, Energy Administration. But Vince, 54%.
Now, that's 50. And by the way, there is no, just for the class to know, if you go to ZeroHedge.com, you'll see a whole bunch of articles written by very nom de plume, Tyler Durden. There's no such Tyler Durden. It's a fictional character, okay? And the guys and gals who write these articles all use the nom de plume Tyler Durden. So I just wanted to let you know that. Now, I'm looking at the chart, the graph.
Yeah.
And it says percent of planned energy installations 2023. Solar, 54%. Now, it also says battery, 17%.
Yeah, I don't get
also,
that. That makes sense. Batteries
makes
have
sense.
To come from somewhere where the energy
yeah.
comes from.
Yeah. And then what really doesn't make sense is 14% natural gas. Now the commander-in-chief is saying, don't y'all be using those gas stoves. We're coming after your gas heaters, but we're going to put in 14% more natural gas energy production equipment. Makes no sense, right? No sense.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health.
The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining, only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
An electrical engineer and an electronic engineer and a patent holder, Bert, and a CEO of a corporation. He's been CEO of many corporations, and he's on the board of directors of corporations as well. Well-rounded, brilliant designer. Bert, here's something that I don't think is being discussed. Maybe we'll just do it here for the first time. So solar panels are great. They can take the sun's energy and move electrons and generate direct current with it. Here's the problem. Here's just one problem. I have a non-contact thermometer. I can just aim my my non-contact thermometer. It's kind of like a pistol. And it senses temperature at a distance. You know, let's say 20 feet. I can aim this non-contact thermometer at these solar panels, which are dark blue in color, and they're hot. They absorb heat. I mean, they absorb a massive amount of heat. So what's happening is, in the desert, where the colors are, you know, tan, we're putting in these massive solar farms. Heck, nobody wants to be in the desert, so let's just put these massive, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of acres, actually square miles, of these solar panels all over America's deserts. And what's happening is they absorb heat. So the desert gets hotter because these solar panels are dark in color, and dark colors absorb more heat than light colors. We all know that. So I've done an experiment, you know, traveling across the country when we're moving from Virginia to Missouri. And our old Dodge Cummins turbo diesel I talked about has an outside thermometer. So it measures the temperature and reports it on a little display of what the outside temperature is. So when we were going around like Louisville, Kentucky, it was about 10 to 20 degrees warmer, whether it be the summer or the winter, than it was in the outskirts of Louisville, Kentucky. And that's because people are putting heat into the air. They're air conditioning in the summer. They're burning fossil fuels in the winter to heat their apartments and houses. And the roofs of these flat-top roof buildings where people live are black to absorb more heat. So I know there's another problem that's not being discussed, and that's the heat absorption. of the solar panels that will contribute to the raising of the temperature of the planet. And the current administration is not discussing that one iota. Bert, your thoughts?
Vince, that sun's going to go into heat no matter whether it hits your roof or whether it goes through the panel. So I agree the solar panels are hot and be great if they took all the sun's energy and all went to electricity. But, of course, that doesn't happen. Most of it goes to heat, like a lot of fuel sources. But, Vince, if it was just going to hit your roof, chances are it's just heating up your roof. So I don't see that as really the problem. And, of course, as solar panel efficiency goes up, that means the percent that goes to electricity versus heat will improve, although it's still going to be the vast majority going to heat. Vince, let me throw at you, do you know what percent of our solar panels right now end up in landfills? Not recycled, land into the ground, Vince.
Well,
you have an idea,
you mean
what
the ones that have become determined to be
end
of life? 100%.
Well, you're close. You're close. It's 90%, and there is a company that is trying to recycle them. Right now, the recycle industry for solar panels is tiny, but they're saying that could grow to a $3 billion business by 2030. It's now it's just about $150 million industry, which is not insignificant. But we need to, Vince, we need to learn how and start recycling these things. There's a company called Solar Cycle that does it, and I'm looking at an article where they quote him, and he's saying that, basically what we're saying in class, Vince, we've done a phenomenal job making cost-efficient solar energy, but we haven't done anything to making it circular and dealing with the end of life, and I couldn't agree more.
Well, the reason I said 100% is there is no regulation regarding the disposal of solar panels right now. If you want to get rid of one, just throw it away. And if you want to saw it up and put it in the 40-gallon trash can, that's what people are doing. They don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Now, there is aluminum, there is glass, and there is silicon, and there's, as I mentioned, there's silver and there's lead and plastic.
Vince, what's going to happen when cavemen of the future start expanding their caves and they dig into this structure and they can't figure out what the heck this is, and it's all recycled solar panels from thousands of years before?
They're going to come up with new words, Bert, and moron is going to be one of them. And they're going to say, I know what happened. Those things that used to walk around here, they're a bunch of morons. They didn't know what to do. They destroyed themselves. Fortunately, they're not here anymore to mess up anything else. I think that's what they're going to say, Bert. The same thing that aliens would be saying, laughing at us. What a bunch of morons. Because in this chart, new energy installations, plants, solar 54%, batteries 17%, natural gas 14%, wind 11%, and nuclear 4%. Really? Where's that nuclear plant going to be? I don't know anything about a nuclear plant that's planned. Bert, thanks so much for being with us today. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
Okay.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.